This is
the defending GPAC champ from last year,
your Concordia Nebraska All Sports leader, Tayshia Rustin, finished with 20 points. Koopski, brought to you by the Solar Earth. Welcome back, everybody, and those of you who are returning, y'all know me. I'm Wyatt Kuby, alongside my partners Eric Cumley, and this is the Koopski. Once again, we cover all Concordia sports. And we had a doozy of a week last week. Eric, how was your week last week, since we're on the topic of last week's?
Last week was good, I guess. I mean, as for sports-wise, we did very well.
All right, we're going to kick it off with men's basketball. They blew out Briarcliff 81-58 in a dominating performance by Gage Smith, who once again has a double-double with 10 rebounds and 17 points. And listen to this. Not only did he go 5 from 5 for the free throw range, you know, he gets fouled, goes to the free throw line. He was the only person on his team to get fouled to go to the line. His team finished 100% on free throws because of him.
That's amazing. I mean, this man has blown up this entire year and has really helped out Carter Kent with just being a number two and stepping up just real big. And, you know, as for the team-wise, that's just really big coming back from a loss to Briarcliff earlier in the year, 89-75. And to come back from that and just beat them in our own house and showing them who we actually are, that just shows so much and how much we actually can play.
And honestly, to bounce back from a disappointing Morningside home loss, to bounce back at home and able to have a dominating performance like this, that's saying a lot. But you mentioned Carter Kent. He had 24 points of his own, shot 6 for 8 for three-point range, and had 7 rebounds of his own. So he had a great game, and I would argue that Justin Wiersma is the Bulldogs' second best player on the team, if not the best player. Yes, he finished with 13 points and 3 rebounds. He also had 4 assists. Watching him play, he is the commander of that offense. He's able to swing the ball around a lot. He's communicating wherever he is. He's also the first one down on defense and the first one down on offense to give their team a fast break opportunity. He's probably the hardest working player on the team and arguably one of the best players in GPAC ball.
With that type of hustle and just leadership, that just affects the whole team in general, which makes us lift and be better overall. So, I mean, him being on the team with that type of energy just helps us so much because his energy rubs off on everyone.
Exactly. And the three players we just mentioned, Smith, Kent, Wiersma, all three have been together for quite a while now. Wiersma's a senior. Kent and Smith are both juniors. So you're talking about these guys have been around for 3 years at the most with each other, getting that chemistry involved and really showing out here in the late stages of their career.
And these three have really stuck together and have improved so much. But sophomore A.J. Watson also scored 12 points, and he had a great game himself, breaking out in this game against Briarcliff.
Yeah, he comes off the bench and at some points creates a spark. And in this case, I think he really did that, able to produce 22 minutes on the court. Normally, he's not in that role. Like, he'll come in to give really Kent or Scarpelli a break in the game. And I think this game, he really stepped up and said, hey, I'm the future of Concordia. Once these guys graduate, I'm able to step up and play. So the future looks bright for Concordia basketball for the men's side.
The men's are now 8-1 at home. Like you said, we had that heartbreaking loss to Morningside. But I mean, 8-1 at home, that just shows how hard it is to play here.
It definitely, especially when you go, like, GPAC is probably the best conference in all of NAIA sports. If you really look at all the teams, all the stats, all the records, we have a lot of GPAC teams in the top 10, let alone the top 25. You know, so I think this is a really good testimony to our program to bring other athletes in.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's a really big step up from last year and just showing how much we're improving. And it's showing all recruits and everything that this is a good place to come.
You know, I'm looking forward to the future of Concordia. And speaking of the future of Concordia, we have another win in the women's category. We beat Briarcliff 65-59, and freshman Tayshia Rustin finished with 20 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists. That's a huge lift a weight off of the older girl's shoulders to know that we have younger athletes that are coming in that can really grow this team in the direction it needs to go. But let's not overlook Taylor Cockrell's performance, having 15 points and 8 rebounds and 4 assists. Those two girls, Tayshia and Taylor, have really shown up in the later half of this season, really.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You can definitely tell the chemistry between Tasha Rushton and Taylor Cockrell has gotten better throughout the season. Just because, I mean, they didn't get a play last year together. Tasha was a freshman, and Taylor's coming off an injury from last year. So, I mean, for them to have this much chemistry and work this well together in the beginning, their first year together, it shows how well the coaching is.
It really does, and it speaks volumes to head coach Drew Olsen, who has really made this program what it is. You know, he was the head coach on the national championship run. We almost went back-to-back last season, but COVID interrupted that, so that was very disappointing. But I definitely think we had a shot with last year's team. I still think there's a chance we can hit playoffs. It's very slim. Obviously, last week we talked about they have to win the rest of their games and win GPAC tournament, not just GPAC regular season, but GPAC tournament, in order to get, hopefully, an automatic bid. I'm not quite sure what they're going to do now with the condensed playoff schedule. So we'll see. Things are looking up with this win, though. So if we can keep going on this win streak after that horrible loss, like gut-wrenching loss to Morningside, I think we definitely have a shot. I'm going to bounce back to men's because I totally forgot to tell you guys when their next game is. Also, their record. The men are now 14-7 overall, 11-5 in GPAC. And they will play Dort University at Sioux Center, Iowa, February 3rd. Tip-off is at 8 p.m. Go online and watch that game. That'll be a good one. And now to bounce back to the women's. They are now 13-7, 12-5 in GPAC play. Their next game is home January 28th at 7 p.m. against College of St. Mary, Friedrich Arena. So show up and show out. It's going to be a good game. Fans are still required to wear masks, so do that.
Yeah, we faced St. Mary last time, and we blew them out of the water. So, I mean, if you go and show out this game, it should be a great one and fun one to watch. But good luck to them, and hopefully we can get another win.
You know, we're on a topic of winning streaks now because we're on to a new topic called track and field. 12 Bulldogs pulled in titles at the Polar Dog event this past weekend. So congrats to them for that big achievement.
Ranging from pole vault to running to jumping to throwing, we had an outstanding performance as I was just saying, for pole vault. I mean, Zach Bennett jumped a personal best of 15 feet, 8 inches in 1/4.
Unfortunately, grabbing second, but for him, that's a huge accomplishment.
I mean, he still grabbed second, but only one other person has vaulted higher than him on the indoor season. That's looking great. I mean, I'm not sure what the highest is this season, but that's pretty high.
It is pretty high. He's up there. Pretty sure the highest this season is 16, like over 16 feet, which is very tall. He's up there. If he can continue to climb, he can get in that range. Also, Cora Olson had a 10.66 triple jump in meters, that is. To translate for those American people, that is 34 feet and 9.7 inches, really. So almost 35 feet on a triple jump. Not where she needs to be. Like, she can hit that 11-meter mark, which is 36 feet. I think a lot of these Bulldog girls can. It's just, you know, early in the season, and things are looking good now as we progress. So,
yeah, I mean, speaking more of jumping on the girls' side for pole vault, Josie Pools, the defending GPAC champ from last year, pushed her NAIA leading clearance to 12 feet 7 inches and a half.
Way to go.
Yeah, she's also done great, but last week's NAIA National Field Athlete of the Week, Morgan DeJong, placed third, throwing the weight throw, 55 feet, 1 inch and a half. So, I mean, she's still having an outstanding performance and throwing at a great level.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And Sarah Lewis also won the 60-meter hurdles with a time of 8.98 seconds. To do hurdles with under 9 seconds, I could never do that. So congrats to her. That's a huge accomplishment.
the women's 4x8 ran in 9 minutes, 44.4 seconds. So that's amazing. Kaitlyn Heritage led the way, shedding off 3 seconds of her time.
Relays are, you know, interesting and fun, really, because you may stumble early, but then the next girl might pick it up. Or you have this middle stretch where you're not doing so well, and then you have the anchor that is able to pull it all together. But really, Heritage was the second leg in the 4x8, so really, it all was early on greatness, really. Her split time was 2 minutes, 26.954 seconds. So that really helps the Bulldogs in their quest for first place. Riley Hecker started the Bulldogs 4x8 relay team with a great starting time with 2 minutes, 22.77 seconds. That's a heck of a way to start a race, really. She had an 11-second lead on Concordia's B team starter. Way to go. Way to have that. That's a huge gap.
Yeah, 11 seconds is a lot in running.
Exactly.
If you think about it, 11 seconds is about 100 meters.
Right.
Probably a little bit more for them.
Yeah,
wow, okay.
It's insane.
Well, on to the men's. For the 5,000 meters, sophomore Camden Cessna just came up shy of 16 minutes, and he was the runner-up for that race. Great job to him.
Yeah, very impressive. It's hard to really judge runners when you're not really there to watch it. You know, we're going off stats and basically reports of what happened over the meet. It's harder to get the full grasp of the whole event, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a shame that fans aren't able to go, because these meets are really just, they're great fun meets. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's people running, jumping everywhere, and you can literally watch any type of meet or any type of event anywhere you stand, really.
Really, and you can be a Bulldog fan. You know, track is such a unique and fun experience that I wish people could see this year, but hopefully next year and years to come we can get more people in to watch it. It's just so much fun. You build friendships. You can bring your friends and talk all day.
Yeah, I mean,
you watch some great athletes perform.
Yeah, it's a great place to hang out, and I wish we could do it, but this year's a little different. We have a GPAC winner of the week.
Hey!
Josie Pools has been chosen.
Yeah, Women's Field Athlete of the Week. That's very impressive. And
so this is the second week in a row that a track athlete has won Athlete of the Week. So congrats to that, and that just shows on how well our indoor track and field team is.
Yep, exactly. And their next meet is January 29th and 30th, mind you, at Doan University for the Fred Beal Invitational. Multis will begin on January 29th, and the rest of the athletes will begin on January 30th. Those times are to be announced. Yeah, so we'll get that information to you guys as soon as we can. So congrats on big wins. Speaking of big personal wins, we have history that is made for the Bulldog Dance and Cheer team. This last weekend, they were the first Bulldog Dance and Cheer team in history to go to the Friends University Day of Duels held in Wichita, Kansas. And their very first attempt, dance team got second place. Cheer team got third place. What a start to this bright future in this tournament.
Our dance and cheer team has really stepped it up from last season. They're doing very well this season. As I mean, going to a tournament their very first time and taking second. As you said, dance took second, only being behind Baker University. The dance team had 153.34 points, and Baker had 166.58. But I mean, if you look at it, third place had 137.42 points. So, I mean, we were not close to third. If we were closer to getting that first than getting to third.
We definitely were, and I had to cover this for the Sower, so I was able to watch the whole 6 hours of the meet. Very interesting. So they basically danced twice, right? The first time they had a few hiccups, but I'm saying few, like maybe one or two that I saw. I'm not a very good judge of dance. But then they came up in the second dance and was absolutely flawless in my eyes and has really stepped up since that first one. So this was huge for them to show what they can do and show that they can progress even in a short span.
Yeah, and on the cheer side, they took third, scoring 153.20 points. And Bethel College, taking second, scored 159.47. So we're right there. We're getting better. And we're almost and kind of itching them for that second place spot. Fourth place was Friends with 138.13 points. So, I mean, we're not really close to them. So we're easily securing a second, or easily securing a third and pushing for that second.
Exactly, and a great performance as well for the cheer team. It was kind of the opposite for them. Their first competition that day was really impressive in my eyes. Like, they were on top of it and with all their jumps and flips that they do. But their second one, they had a few mess-ups in my eyes, but overall, they did very well, and hopefully they can continue this great run into their own season, because this is a big boost of confidence for both dance and cheer.
Oh, definitely, and dance's next performance will be a home duel at halftime of the women's volleyball game on Thursday, January 28th, against College of St. Mary. Again, that'll be at halftime, women's basketball game. Cheer's next performance will be at the Concordia Cheer and Dance Invitational scheduled for Saturday, February 6th. Dance is supposed to start at 10 a.m. and cheer is supposed to start at 11:45. This will be in the Friedrich Arena. So that'll be home. I'm not sure if fans will be allowed there, but
I'm pretty sure it's
most likely
the whole Walls Arena or Friedrich Arena. Policies is fans will be allowed, you just have to wear masks. So I'm pretty sure fans are allowed, so go out and show out for our dance and cheer teams. That's all we got for today. Make sure you email us at conekubski@gmail.com if you have any questions or comments. Follow us on Instagram at conekubski and Twitter
at Kubski.
And tune in next week for another great weekend of Concordia Athletics. Thank you all. Have a good night.
Bye.
Because of marketing dollars. Oh, you think that everything is gonna blow just because you market it harder? No, I got my hands in everything.